the Managing Director of the American Institute in Taiwan, Washington office, John Norris Jr. Director Norris retired from the Department of State in 2011 as a career member of the Senior Foreign Service with the rank of Minister Counselor. Mr. Norris entered the Foreign Service in 1975 and spent the majority of his 36-year career in the Department of State working on East Asia issues. Mr. Norris served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia and Pacific Affairs with responsibility for China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Mongolia from 2008 to 2009. Mr. Norris also served as Director of the Office of Chinese and Mongolian Affairs, Consulate General of the United States in Guangzhou, the Director of the Office of Taiwan Coordination. Earlier in his career, Mr. Norris served in both AIT Taipei and AIT Kaohsiung. Mr. Norris's other overseas assignments include Singapore, Beijing, and Shanghai. His interagency assignments were Advisor for International Affairs in the Office of the Vice President of the United States and Foreign Policy Advisor of the Commandant of the Marine Corps. Mr. Norris has degrees from the University of Virginia, Harvard University, and the National War College. Please join me in welcoming Director Norris.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Russell, for that very kind introduction. It's a great honor for me to be here at this GTI event, and I'd like to join the other speakers who've paid tribute to the GTI, to Dr. Lai and Russell and the whole GTI team. You've put on a great symposium, and I'm sure this is the first of many to come of these annual events. In the short time that GTI has been operating, you've already shown that you're a valuable addition to the think tank community. Your events, articles, newsletters have deepened policymakers' understanding of Taiwan and enriched the discourse on U.S.-Taiwan relations. So I'd like to provide a snapshot of U.S.-Taiwan relations. As AIT's chairman, Jim Moriarty, recently noted, the United States and Taiwan have built a comprehensive, durable, mutually beneficial partnership grounded in our shared interests and values. We maintain close economic, security, and people-to-people ties. I'd like to address briefly each of these areas in turn. First, on the economic front, the United States and Taiwan have grown to become each other's 10th and second largest goods trading partners, respectively. The stock of bilateral foreign direct investment between the United States and Taiwan exceeds $21 billion. Taiwan is a top 20 importer of U.S. services and a top purchaser of U.S. agricultural exports and intellectual property. Just yesterday, I had the privilege of being up on Capitol Hill to witness the signing of three letters of intent on purchase of about $3 billion worth of soybean, corn, and wheat, and I think that is a reflection of the deep trade ties that we have between the two sides. I also had the privilege of witnessing in recent weeks the successful launch on a SpaceX rocket of Taiwan's first indigenously developed and produced satellite, the Formosat 5 in California. The launch stood to me as further evidence of the strides that Taiwan has made in the science and technology fields and all that we have to offer one another. This past summer, Taiwan sent its largest ever delegation to Select USA. Senior executives from many of Taiwan's most prominent companies came to the United States, where they scouted out new investment opportunities that potentially could reach $34 billion. Subsequently, Foxconn announced its intent to spend $10 billion on a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility in Wisconsin, which would create 3,000 jobs. This investment is a tangible demonstration of our close economic ties and further evidence that Taiwan is a key contributor to the United States economy. We continue to work through the Trade and Investment Framework Agreement, or TIFA, process to address trade issues and market access barriers facing U.S. companies and investors. Last October, at the 10th TIFA Council meeting, the U.S. and Taiwan participants made progress in the areas of intellectual property rights protection, market access for pharmaceuticals, improvements in the investment regime, internal regulations on chemicals, and in some areas of agricultural trade. This past July in Taipei, through the intermediation of AIT and TECRO, USTR and Taiwan's Ministry of Economic Affairs reviewed the status of the implementation of these topics. While there was progress in some areas, hard work remains to be done in terms of agricultural market access. I think it's we can say that the U.S.-Taiwan economic relationship is strong and could be even better. The United States firmly believes that if reinvigorated economic growth is to be achieved, it will be done in part by pursuing the economic liberalization to which we have agreed through the TIFA mechanism. If we can successfully use bilateral mechanisms like the TIFA to resolve trade irritants between our two economies, it will help foster a stronger and closer trade relationship. We are also actively identifying new opportunities for collaboration through our Digital Economy Forum, a venue for dialogue between our public and private sectors on a wide range of cooperative topics, from digital trade and privacy to cross-border technology licensing and smart cities. Development of the digital economy will be critical for growth in the 21st century. This is why AIT has encouraged Taiwan to be open to new approaches by companies in financial technology, the sharing economy, and private equity. These are just some of the tools that are essential to helping the new economy work efficiently and productively. In the security realm, consistent with the Taiwan Relations Act and our One China policy, the United States makes available to Taiwan defense articles and defense services in such quantity as may be necessary to enable Taiwan to maintain a sufficient self-defense capability. Such defense sales to Taiwan are based on our assessment of Taiwan's defense needs. Our enduring interest in peace and security undergirds the U.S. policy of providing Taiwan with arms of a defensive nature and maintaining our own capability to respond to coercion. This policy facilitates stability across the strait by giving Taipei the confidence needed to pursue constructive interactions with Beijing. Over the past decade, we have authorized the transfer to Taiwan of some of our most sophisticated platforms and systems. Systems and platforms that Taiwan needed in order to maintain its self-defense capability. Earlier this summer in June, the Trump administration notified to Congress, as we heard earlier, the $1.42 billion in arms sales to Taiwan, further demonstrating the United States' vow to uphold its commitments under the TRA. At the same time, our security relations with Taiwan are about much more than arms sales. The United States engages in a wide range of consultations and exchanges with Taiwan aimed at assisting Taiwan's armed forces as they seek to maintain, train, and equip a capable, effective self-defense capability. Our close cultural and people-to-people ties also help undergird our relationship with Taiwan. Taiwan is the seventh largest source of international students in the United States, sending over 21,000 students to the United States last year alone, more than Japan, Brazil, or the United Kingdom. On a per capita basis, Taiwan sends more people to study in the United States than India or the PRC. The Fulbright program recently celebrated 60 years of educational exchanges between the United States and Taiwan, from which over 3,000 grantees have benefited. We currently have 144 Fulbrighters on Taiwan, including students, scholars, researchers, and teachers. Taiwan's inclusion in the visa waiver program in 2012 has led to an expansion of tourist and business travel from Taiwan, sustaining and generating jobs here in the United States. As true friends, we are there for each other during times of need. In the wake of Hurricane Harvey, Taiwan has, as Stanley Gao mentioned this morning, Taiwan has generously donated $500,000 to the Red Cross and an additional $300,000 to the City of Houston's Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund. Just as the United States was there for Taiwan when an earthquake struck Tainan in 2016, Taiwan has now demonstrated that it is there for us during our time of need. The measure of friendship is how one responds when the other is most vulnerable and in greatest need. In this respect, it is clear that the United States and Taiwan are indeed true friends. Taiwan has shown it has the expertise and experience, as well as the desire to help tackle regional and global issues. When the United States asked the international community to provide assistance to West Africa in the wake of the Ebola outbreak, Taiwan answered the call. Taiwan donated 100,000 sets of personal protective equipment and $1 million to meet the most urgent needs of stricken patients. Taiwan is also a member of the Defeat ISIS Coalition and has donated money and supplies to help stabilize the region and support those who have had to flee their homes in Iraq and Syria. Taiwan's participation in the international community is vital precisely because Taiwan has shown time and again both the will and the ability to play a positive role in addressing global problems. The United States will continue to support Taiwan's membership in international organizations where statehood is not a requirement for membership, and its meaningful participation in international organizations where statehood is a requirement. Our urging for the World Health Assembly to welcome Taiwan's participation as an observer is an example of our efforts in this regard. The United States also continues to find new ways for Taiwan to earn the dignity and respect that its contributions to global challenges merit and that befit its democratic status. The previous panel mentioned the Global Cooperation and Training Framework, or GCTF. We work with Taiwan to address global and regional concerns by leveraging Taiwan's strength and expertise through the GCTF. Earlier this summer, the GCTF held a workshop in Taipei on humanitarian assistance and disaster relief. Through this training course, participants shared best practices in overall disaster management and discussed specific disaster relief topics. In November, AIT and the Taiwan authorities will convene a GCTF Women Entrepreneur and Tech Workshop, as well as a separate workshop on bridging the digital divide. To date, GCTF has convened 8 programs on Taiwan, on everything from public health and energy efficiency to women's empowerment and e-commerce. More than 100 officials and experts from countries throughout the Asia-Pacific region have participated. AIT looks forward to convening the next GCTF Joint Committee meeting here in Washington later this year, where we will work with Taiwan to identify priority areas for 2018. The partnership between the United States and Taiwan is also sustained by our mutual respect for democracy, human rights, and civil liberties. Taiwan's 2016 presidential election brought about its third peaceful transition of presidential power, the first transfer of power in its legislature, and the inauguration of its first female president. Taiwan stands as a beacon of democracy in Asia, offering a compelling example not only for Asia, but for the world. The U.S. commitment to Taiwan has thus become based not only on our enduring national interests, but also on our shared values. The United States intends to remain steadfast in deepening its ties with Taiwan and upholding policies consistent with the Taiwan Relations Act. The United States endeavors to improve our economic partnership, support Taiwan's confidence and freedom from coercion, deepen the bonds of friendship between our people, and ensure that Taiwan has the ability to make positive contributions to the international community. As a reliable partner, a force for good in the world, and a democratic success story, Taiwan continues to merit our full support. Thank you very much.
Identify yourself and please keep your questions brief. That'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you for those remarks. It's very reassuring. This came up in the last panel too. I raised it, I guess. But what about a free trade agreement with Taiwan? Why not?
Take questions.
Well, I think that. I think this administration clearly supports free and fair trade. Exactly what form that takes, I think I'll leave that to the administration to decide. But clearly, we have a very important ongoing mechanism, TIFA, which I think. Is an important way of breaking barriers, and I think it can be an important way to be a building block for the future in whatever sort of follow-on arrangement might take place. So, I guess I would take advantage of my status as being a representative of a nonprofit corporation and pump that over to the to our friends at USCR to give the prognosis for a free trade agreement.
Holmes Liao here. The previous session talked about TRA, and in which there is an article that says the U.S. will support Taiwan's defense article and services. And in the past, we have always focused on articles and less on services. And it's good that Trump administration has shown its support to Taiwan by granting the sale of $1.4 billion of defense articles and probably less on services again. So my question is, is there any way for the U.S. to help Taiwan to develop doctrines, trainings, join us, for instance, that sort of thing, so rather than continue to focus on articles? And it's good that U.S. is selling weapons to Taiwan, right? But I think more importantly, Taiwan's military need to have the new defense thinking strategies, tactical and strategies to cope with the ever dire situation across the Taiwan Strait. Thanks.
Right. Well, I mentioned in my remarks that we do more than just sell arms, that our defense ties are broader based than that. And we have a broad range of exchanges with Taiwan. And I think they're get into some of the areas that you mentioned. It's also, I know private companies also engage in their interactions with U.S. companies with Taiwan. I believe a U.S. Company just recently signed a contract for combat training centers, for example, which will help Taiwan train its forces in that direction. We have, I'm looking at Lotta here from the U.S.-Taiwan Business Council. I put in a plug for it coming up in the middle of October. They have their annual defense industry conference, which is another important venue for the U.S. and Taiwan to exchange information. So I think that there's a lot that we do in addition to just selling hardware to Taiwan. Yes.
Thank you, John. I'm Rita Chen from the Central News Agency. You just mentioned about the importance of the TIFA mechanism. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, are we going to have TIFA talk this year? If yes, what's the priority issue that U.S. will like to raise? If not, why not?
I'm sure there'll be, a decision from the two sides through AIT and TechRO, from USTA, USTR and MOEA on the next round of TIFA talks. So I don't can't tell you exactly when that would be. But I think the areas for priority and include certainly in the investment area, transparency, IPR protection, and of course the perennial issues of agricultural trade like pork and beef. Those are just some of the topics that I'm sure would come up. Okay.
Yes, got to remember to take wait for the mic. John, thank you for informing us that the Joint Committee meeting for GCTF will be happening later this year. And I think I just want to get your sort of reaction in terms of a potential idea to consider, and that is in mutual legal assistance. And I think this is an area where the United States and Taiwan has an excellent track record in terms of being able to provide mutual legal assistance. I think by my last count, there's an average about 90% response rate in terms of the requests that are made by each side to the other side regarding assistance in legal matters. And I wonder whether or not you see this as a potential area where the United States and Taiwan can sort of work together under GCTF to build partner capacity in responding to sort of MLAA request. As far as I know right now, the Taiwan has two MLAAs with Southeast Asian countries, that's the Philippines and Vietnam, and I wonder whether or not this is an area where even non sort of MLAA countries with Taiwan could benefit from assistance in these issues. Maybe just a response to that.
Well, we can certainly we always are looking for new ideas to new areas to explore and cooperation. So that could certainly be one of the areas. I know that Taiwan has a lot to offer through its own expertise with countries in the Asia-Pacific region, and certainly Taiwan has a very highly developed legal system, a very capable governing structure. So I think that's certainly an area where we could explore and see how we could help share Taiwan's experience with others in the region.
Thank you. My question is very straightforward and simple. And by the way, thank you for your great overview about AIT and U.S.-Taiwan relationships. And as a Taiwanese-American, I think after last year's Tsai's victory and President Trump's victory, and a common question in the Taiwanese-American community is, well, okay, we talk about AIT and TechRO for years. Is there possibilities to start considering idea of AIT and Taiwan representative office in Washington or something of that sort?
Well, another interesting question. Well, I think we have a good arrangement right now. I'm not looking for any changes in the nomenclature, but anyway, I'm certainly aware of the interest. Earlier this summer, I had a chance to address the East Coast Conference of the Taiwanese American Association, and There were several hundred people there from all over, not just the East Coast, but even people from the West Coast as well. And heard a lot of ideas about from the community about things that could be done to such as the one that you mentioned, and other things that could be done to bring the U.S. and Taiwan together. So anyway, it's certainly an idea that we're aware of, and we'll keep that idea in mind.
Jacques DeLille, University of Pennsylvania. In the last panel, we parsed Section 4D of the TRA, and you mentioned the importance of the U.S. supporting Taiwan's participation in the international order, consistent with its with what it deserves. It's become a tougher environment since Tsai Ing-wen became president, largely because of what Beijing has been up to with the WHA, the ICAO, and various other moves. What can or should the U.S. do in this more challenging environment to pursue the goal that you mentioned?
Well, I think there are a number of things that we can do. One is in line with what was also brought up earlier today, looking at areas where where the PRC can't block Taiwan participation, or so looking at sort of non-traditional areas outside of the formal international organization structure. We're trying to do that through the GCTF by joining with Taiwan to help share its expertise with other countries in the region. That's one thing that we're doing. I think we continue our efforts to work the State Department and other places in our government to reach out to other like-minded countries that also believe that Taiwan has a lot to contribute to the international community, to continue to try to allow Taiwan to play a role, working with them to regain the observership in the World Health Assembly, to push back where we see pressure from China. These are just some of the things that we can do. We also I think maintain very close contact with Taiwan to exchange information and to think of new strategies that we can follow. And finally, I think another Taiwan can do a lot in sort of other organizations. We heard earlier today someone mentioned the university games. I think that was a very a positive way for Taiwan to showcase its strengths. And I think had a lot of positive PR for Taiwan. So I think there's a lot that can be done outside of these more formal UN affiliated organizations. But we continue to work on that in that area as well.
Sir, thank you. Ben Lowson, Navy. I'm just going to ask a question out of my ignorance. What is Taiwan doing in Interpol now, and is the chief of Interpol being a PRC national having an effect on Taiwan's participation there?
Well, Taiwan doesn't have any relationship with Interpol. They would very much like to be an observer at Interpol, and but right now I don't think, to my knowledge, there isn't any relationship there. I know that Taiwan works with other partners in the area of law enforcement to share information to, for example, in the university games to deal with any threats from terrorism or other things. But a lot of what Taiwan has to do is done bilaterally.
Thanks. Thank you for a very interesting presentation, particularly your list of achievements and contributions that Taiwan has made to the international community. There are a couple of items that I happen to be familiar with that were not on your list, and perhaps you might include them next time, and that is that Taiwan was the leading contributor to Japan after the tsunami and earthquake, far eclipsing what China had contributed. Secondly, Taiwan is a member of the Proliferation Security Initiative, PSI. I think 120 countries are members of that. China is not. Taiwan was instrumental in intercepting some technology that was going to North Korea. And thirdly, Taiwan was a leading player in the SARS, AIDS, and Asian flu epidemics that occurred 10, 15 years ago. Again, far surpassing the contributions that China made. So I think they're worth mentioning in Taiwan's contributions to the international community.
Okay, thank you very much. That's a very important addition, and we'll keep those in mind for future presentations. And I thank you very much for sharing that with the audience.
Time for one more question, if anyone has it. And please join me in thanking Director Norris.
Okay, thank you.
That means it's live.